grace to you and peace. Amen. There are two kinds of lines that you can find yourself in from time to time. As I've grown older, I realize that one kind of line I really don't mind. But make me stand in the other kind, and I'll equate it with being tortured. The first kind of line is like that line that forms outside of Izzy's ice cream on a warm and sunny day. When you consider getting in line at Izzy's, the only uncertainty you have to wrestle with is how long you're going to have to wait for your turn at the counter. This line is about as orderly as they come. The people around you are usually in a good mood. You're about to get ice cream after all, right? And since Izzy's makes their own, there's always plenty to choose from, no matter how long the line gets. Sometimes you'll notice that one person who's been waiting in line for a while is joined by a few others just as they're nearing the front of the line. This is rarely greeted with any negativity from the others in the line behind them. Holding a spot for others is just fine in the ice cream line. The second kind of line is like the line that forms outside of a general admission concert or a movie theater. Everyone is just waiting for the doors to open so that they can all scramble to grab the best available seats. Sometimes the mood in these lines is considerably more tense. Sometimes there's no line at all, and just a crowd that's pushing itself closer and closer to the bottlenecked entrance. People who come late to the line or push through the crowd to join others that have been holding a place for them are jeered or sometimes even angrily denied access. I hate this kind of line. It just brings out the worst in people. How about you? How do you feel about standing in lines? Are you one who's content to wait their turn, or are you one who sees the line as a challenge to be bested? Do you like to scheme your way as close to the front as possible? Or would you just as soon stay out of the fray and take whatever seat is left, if there's even one left when you finally get your turn to enter? There's just something about standing in concert lines that offends my sense of justice. There's just no way to keep it fair, no way to ensure that those that have been waiting the longest will get their just reward. There's always someone who skips the line at the cost of the people behind them. Clearly, it's this same lack of fairness that challenges us who have to listen to this parable of the vineyard workers today. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus begins his story just as he has been for much of Matthew's gospel. And more often than not, the picture that Jesus paints about this kingdom, about God's vision for the world, turns our typical sensibilities upside down. When you heard the story today, did you imagine yourself as one of the workers hired at the start of the day? These are the ones who agreed to come to work all day and receive the expected daily wage. This amount was enough to buy enough food and supplies to care for you and maybe a spouse and a child for one day. A day laborer needed to work each day to keep ahead. But as our story highlights, work is not guaranteed. Show up in the city center at the marketplace each day and hope that a job is offered and that you'll have a chance to bring in an income today. I suspect that those that who are hired first thing by the vineyard owner are quite pleased and relieved to know that this day's income is all but assured. Presumably, they work throughout the day with the confidence that what they need for today has been secured. As the day wears on, the vineyard owner continues to contract with more and more laborers, who then also set to work in the vineyard, joining those who had started earlier in the day. This continues until almost the end of the day, when the vineyard owner contracts with the last remaining idle workers in the marketplace, and they too join the crew. Is it any wonder that the workers who have been in the vineyard all day long are doing the math in their heads? When the foreman starts handing out the pay to those that came at the tail end of the workday, will they receive a full measure of the daily wage? The all-day crew must imagine that their reward will have to be greater. But when they too are handed the same daily wage, they protest. They worked all day, and these others worked so much less. They've been standing in the line the longest. How can this possibly be fair? Today, we learn something really important about the economy of the kingdom of heaven. Your place in the line doesn't matter. It's just being in the line that does. There's an echo here to the text that we heard on Ash Wednesday at the start of this Lenten journey. Remember, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples ask Jesus, expecting to discover the secret to individual reward. And here again, Jesus turns upside down by suggesting that greatness is not a metric that an individual can count on in the kingdom of heaven. Greatness can only be applied to the whole community, including the most typically marginalized and ignored. Today, we learn that no additional privilege or reward is afforded to those at the head of the line. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Your place in the line makes no difference to God. There is no end to the stockpile of grace and mercy. It's not going to run out. You don't need to push and shove. You don't need to find the hidden side entrance. Go ahead and let that person step in front of you. Go ahead and hold the door open for someone else before you. What waits for you is just as powerful as what was given to those who came before you, and of equal value to those who will come behind you. We're still learning the details of the college admissions scandal that has captured the nation's attention this week. Amazingly, even in light of heightened nuclear threats from North Korea and a hate-filled mass shooting in New Zealand, uber-rich parents conspired with corrupt exam proctors and coaches and administrators to create favorable places in the line for their kids. Sadly, unlike the kingdom of heaven, there are lots of places in this world where your spot in the line really matters. Rich parents who use their wealth to influence their children's future creates a system that seems deeply unjust. perhaps we can understand the motivation that most parents have to help set a course for their children to be successful in their endeavors. But this story seems to suggest something else is underway. These parents have pushed other kids out of the way so that their child might be better off. There are too many examples of how the economics of this world run counter to the wisdom of the kingdom of heaven. As my friend Rolf Jacobson points out in today's parable of the vineyard workers who feel that they are owed something extra because of their place in the line, well, their sense of entitlement only leads to resentment. But the antidote to such a system is to embrace God's grace and mercy with gratitude. Be thankful that God has provided for all your needs this day. And be thankful that God has promised to do the same again tomorrow. And use this gratitude to fuel your own generosity. Take a step back and create a space in the line for your neighbor. Remember, your place doesn't matter. It's just being in the line that does. God's grace and mercy are here for you. And the ice cream tastes pretty good, too. Thanks be to God. Amen.